Queen Carvania stood haloed by the morning sun. An army hung on her every word.
My champions, I have sold my chariot on Carvana. 'Twas a lovely SUV, an inexplicably queenly offer. They're even coming to the castle to collect it. Tonight, we feast!
An offer you can feast on. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Tuesday.
Which means, inevitably, boys, we should already start thinking about way back Wednesday, because people will be thinking about it for us, but...
I have an idea.
All right.
Songs to not watch soccer to.
Okay. That list should be, I don't know, would that be long?
Any song. Any song. Are you going to put the soccer game?
What no, because you don't care about it.
The soccer
Joel, if he cares, if bout? He wants it, I'll put it on for him.
The soccer bout? Is
well,
that
Charlie
what
was already giving us crap that, oh, we won't, you know, we're going to be giving updates. And I walked in during a breakout. No, easy, Chief. We're not going to be doing anything of the sort.
I totally am. I'm going to do updates of the whole game. So this guy's running. And there's other guys running, and there's more dudes running. Everybody's running. There's a running. Oh, someone fell. Someone has been shot.
I was going to say, there's a sniper someone, in the building. No, not really, but a guy's acting like
okay,
it.
Okay, he's not hurt. I thought he was hurt. He was grabbing his ankle. He got hit in the shoulder, but he grabbed his ankle. He's up. He's running now. He's not limping. Oh, there's a yellow card. Someone's in trouble. Like, I don't know that would be the
Have you seen, the whole by thing. The way, when the referee, basically without speaking, taunts the players, he does the no. shape of the yellow card. He looks at him and goes, like he does like the rectangular with two
like,
fingers.
If
like,
you don't
you
watch
keep
out,
going, I'm going to pull it out.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's he's like a parent almost. Like, one.
Have you seen it, Nick?
I haven't seen yeah, that.
Like the counts, player just keeps coming at him, hilarious. Coming at him, and he goes, like, one yeah. more, and so, I got it for you.
That would be great if they counted like a parent. Like, one, two, that's it, yellow card. Go to your room. That would be great.
Dude, I do that with Taylor.
They do act like babies.
And instead of being intimidated by it, she finished the count. Yeah, I'll go, if I get to five, and you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're in trouble. And I'll go, one, and she'll go, two, three, and just keep throwing at me. Like, I'm looking at Lisa going, that's not working.
Nope, gotta nope. do something else.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
So, yeah. So, everybody good? Everything's copacetic?
I'm struggling a little bit today.
Why?
I worked out yesterday.
Oh.
For the first time in a long time. I used the weight bench at my house.
Yeah.
And
you had to take a light bulb out?
Everything hurts so bad. I can't even text.
Did you do total body or just like
No, I did shoulders,
yeah.
chest,
yeah. triceps.
And triceps.
Okay.
And I can't text. That's how much it hurts. Like, I'm telling you, like, I woke up in the middle of the night and I was just like, oil me. Like, I could not move. I was like the Tin Man from.
And you know how they say you give your muscles a day rest and work out again?
Well,
you're going to need a solid week.
No, so I was going to do
days.
That. Yeah, two days. 2 days
yeah.
and the soreness is going to be the worst tomorrow, not today, which is why I'm really nervous because it's already hurts.
Do
a
cardio
lot.
Today.
I am. I'm going to go run.
Because then you won't be a sore.
Yeah, I'm going to go run. But then I was going to do like tomorrow, I was going to do biceps and abs and what else? What is the other one?
Back.
Yeah, back, bison, abs. I was like, nah, we'll move that to Friday. I'll do legs tomorrow. I'll run today, do legs tomorrow, something. Because, man, I'm out of shape. I'm just, and this, I don't even, like, what I was lifting was ridiculous. I was like, I am the weakest Like, just, it's embarrassing how little I was lifting. And I don't know what the bar is, though, because I have, like, one of those big Smith machine things.
Yeah, 45. Yeah.
35 or 45 normally.
Oh, God, that helps a little bit.
Unless it's thinner. Usually, if it's thinner, then it's 25.
No. It's the, I guess it's not, is it Olympic style? The bigger, because, you know, you have the smaller bar and then the bigger one.
Now, is the bar, can the bar be separated from the Smith machine, or no, is it part of the Smith machine?
It's connected.
Yeah, see, the Smith machine takes everything to a different level because it's on those like hydraulic, the sliders. And so they might use their own. And I don't know if the bar weighs the same.
Yeah. See, I don't know either. I don't know how much it weighs, but it was sad how much weight I was putting on there.
You got to start somewhere.
I mean, like, I'm talking
probably someone sadder than you in the gym.
No, I'm talking like if it was,
believe me,
but he's in his house.
Yeah.
So he's got a safety zone.
Like, I would be lucky if, cause I did, I think I was benching like 140 pounds. That like, is so sad.
But to Nick's point, when you were done, when Nora came in and put 220 up, that's when you got to feel bad about yourself.
She was like, move out of the way, bitch, and pressed up 220 on me real quick. Ow, see, that hurt.
You
Ow.
Grabbed your towel and put your chin down and went, I'm going to the car wash shower. I'm not talking to you.
Yeah, that was, man, this is, oof.
Well, you know, like I said, it's, look, you're back on the horse.
Well, for now. We'll see how long this lasts.
No, you're going to get your spanking new running shoes, and that'll motivate you to get out on the open road?
That's true. Like, today I was supposed to have lunch with Liebeschock. We have a monthly lunch on our calendar. I was like, bro, I can't. I have to get sexy for L.A. Like, I've got to stick to this for 30 days, because I'm pretty much in L.A. in 30 days. So, we'll see how it goes. I hope, as I get older, two things happen. It's more difficult to lose weight, but it's also more difficult to get motivated. I have a feeling by the time I'm 50, I'm just going to be just a slob of a mess because I won't care. I'll just be like, whatever. Whatever. I don't care. It's so hard to get motivated. I don't know how you do it every day.
I don't. I want to.
I thought you run and lift every day.
I'm back on it. I'm back on that program to like, I would say 5 days a week. But it's tough because you get home.
That's every day.
Well, but there's the weekend involved and different nights. Like, I feel guilty on the nights I don't do it, but it's like you get home and you have every intention of doing it, and then you've got the honey-dos and the kitty-dos and all these other things, and then I look at the clock and go, yeah, there's just...
I was going to say, does Lisa, like, is she supportive, or is she like, you need to go work out?
She's good about it. I mean, okay. she's
supportive, though, unless there's, not mean.
There are certain nights when you just, I just get that feeling. Like she's like... Yeah, she's in a mood, you're just not doing it today.
Yeah.
Okay. But there are a lot of other times when she's like, just go run. Just go get it out of the way. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, like last night, I knew right when I got home there was a ton of stuff going on. But then all of a sudden she was like, all right, I'm cool. Go out. And I just got tired because our gym is not close. So I just set up a whole gym in the garage. And then the heat factors into, and I love the fact that, you know, you're in kind of like a sauna, so you're sweating too. And that also tests you. So the weight that you can do in the gym that's air conditioned is a lot easier than the weight you can do in the garage when it's not.
Right.
So then I just go outside and get it out of the way weight wise. But yeah, the cardio.
What do you bench press
now?
Yeah,
I do. I can't do flat. I can't do straight bar anymore because of all the issues I've had with my back.
Okay.
So I do like 75-pound dumbbell sets of 10 to 12.
Do what now?
Like a 75-pound dumbbell.
Bench press a lot. If
like,
you can do that.
Like a 75-pound dumbbell in each arm, uh-huh, in each hand. And then do incline, flat bench, incline, decline. And okay, then at the end, I do close grip and do
so you don't have like
to
a
failure.
Okay, so you're doing individual dumbbells.
Yeah, because that's how I screwed up back.
That's a lot. 75, that's
yeah, he
a
could
lot.
Probably bench press in the 200s if he's doing that.
What do you bench press? 30?
Probably.
40 pounds?
I probably, if I can get 120, 140, I'd be lucky.
Really? You're lying.
No, Nick, come on.
There's no way I bench press more than you. You've been into the gym.
I'm being honest.
Really?
Yeah.
So 120 to 140?
Like a 45 and a 35 and a 35. What's that?
That's 100.
70 plus that's a math 40, equation.
Yeah, and then I might do like the five. I might do.
But you have the bar. You're not counting the bar.
The bar is 45.
Okay, so you're saying you put a 35 on each side?
Yeah, and I might throw in a 10 on each side too, but usually starts off with a 35 and then as the reps, the
okay,
sets,
yeah,
I go higher.
345 is what, 135? Yeah. That's right. 135.
That's correct.
So then you add 5 or 10 to most. So you're okay. That's fine.
Hey, doesn't it feel like 5 years ago you were a swimmer?
Yeah, I know, man.
It seems like forever in a day. And we were talking about, that was your new thing.
That was my new thing for a long time.
What'd you do with the Speedo?
I never got that Speedo.
What?
That little swim, the jammers. Lying. They were called jammers.
I think
jammers, because they jam your balls halfway up your intestines.
Do you still shave your legs?
I never shaved my legs.
I thought when you were swimming for aerodynamic purposes to cut down on your time, you shaved your legs.
Negative.
No? What about your arms? I saw
all
a
fake
dude.
News, sir.
It's all fake news?
Fake news.
I saw a dude when I was leaving the grocery store the other day. And I don't know why I noticed this, but I immediately noticed that he shaved his legs.
Because you look at guys' legs.
No,
there's a lot of guys that still. There's a guy that.
But he wasn't like. So sometimes you'll see a dude that's all buffed out and ripped.
Always.
And he's full clean shaven. And his arms, his legs. And for some reason, this dude was just average. He was just, you know, kind of chubby, flabby, just like me, just like you, Nick. Like, just.
Well, no, wait, there are guys.
And I was like, why is this dude shaving his legs?
There's like a lot. I'll tell you one that you guys know, and I'll tell you who it is off the air. But there are guys that just hate hair. There's people that. There are guys that I know that just hate hair. They don't like hair. So they shave everything.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I don't know. That's
you know, like, both of them.
Like I'm not, I'm not a hairy
fan
dude.
Of it, but I don't have to shave.
Yeah, I'm not I'm pretty lucky. Like I'm not. My arms aren't hairy. My legs aren't hairy. I think I've discussed my nipples are starting to get hairy, which is a weird thing to have happen.
Okay.
What? Like I'm starting to get the ring around the nipples.
So you use like a razor blade to.
I don't know. I was thinking about that. This is why I brought it up because so I see this dude shaves his legs and I'm like, well, that's a little excessive. But it made me start to think. I've got like one chest hair right in the middle. It's just one single hair. It's just like, hey guys, what's up? And it's
Come on.
By itself.
So no, it's like your goatee.
No, it's just exactly. But it's one hair. But around the nipples. It looks like that's the only place I fertilize because there's a
well, that's where the fertilizer
there's
went.
There's a decent, not a lot. Like if I took my shirt off, you wouldn't be like, oh my God, that looks like you have two Don King nipples. Like it's not that hairy, but it's significantly more than the rest of the chest. So it's kind of weird. And I was thinking,
electrolysis.
Well, I would
zap your nipples.
See how you're thinking? Because I was thinking like Joel, I was like, well, maybe I'll shave. But do I really want to be shaving my nipples on a biweekly basis?
Well, it doesn't come back that fast.
Yeah, how
does
fast?
It?
Do you know how fast nipple hair grows? Because I don't.
Like I mean, I don't weeks. Gauge it, but I got to believe it takes
every
like
two weeks.
Couple yeah. weeks.
You've done this?
Yeah.
Or did you have a woman in your life?
Well, he
that
was
needed
a swimmer, dude.
Nipples.
Remember this. He was a swimmer.
By the way, I did date a girl with hairy nipples.
Oh,
she didn't
boy.
Take care of that.
See?
No,
no, we've discussed this.
Yes, we had the third nipple as well.
It's very weird.
Oh yeah, that was I could never. Yeah. I can't believe that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm on the fence about. Doing
there's only
anything.
Thing just there's only razor. One thing more no. shocking and worse than finding out a girl has three nipples, and I think you can figure that out.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff going through my head right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, exactly. But if you, I mean, figure it out. There's only one thing worse than. If you meet a girl and everything like that, and all of a sudden, when you get down to business, you realize she's got three nipples. The only thing worse would be if you realize
she's
got
a penis?
Outdoor plumbing.
Oh,
yeah.
That would, like, well, that'd be definitely worse if you weren't expecting it. Now,
exactly.
You know, if that's what you were
if
hoping.
That's your thing.
Yeah, that's Trey would say. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with you guys joining the show either.
Where's the soccer at, Nick? I want to watch this stupid tennis. I want to watch stupid soccer.
Well, you're just killing all kinds of fan yeah. bases right now.
What is a Wimbledon? I want to watch
the
stupid
soccer.
The most
amazing tennis
get
tournament
to some,
ever.
Get out of here.
So like I was saying, if you want to get in on the show and express your love for sports that maybe all of us don't agree with, HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text. You can also hit us up on Twitter where it's at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at the producer Nick. So join us, won't you? Back with more ESPN 97.5.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
If you catch me at the border, I'll go visit them. If you come around here, I'll make them all day. I get one down in a second if you... This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting started. Usual Suspects on a Tuesday. I haven't looked outside. I heard there's more rain coming. In case you put fertilizer on the lawn, I don't think it's going to be a deluge.
Yeah.
But yet I do believe that precipitation is still on the, in the forecast.
And the signs are already letting you know hurricane season is here.
Yeah, they've been
there all over 59 here, right? And other highways. They always give you that disclaimer on the highway.
Yeah, those have been out for a while, though.
Yeah.
On the highway? Oh, the reader boards, you mean?
Yep.
The digitals?
You can just tell he doesn't look up from his phone very often.
No,
he's just now
seeing the fact that it's been on for that long.
Oh, he looks up on the road. He has to when you go over across three lanes in a second and a half on a diagonal. Nick plays tic-tac-toe on the highway.
Do
you? He just goes diagonal, diagonal, and then across.
Someone cut me off the other day. I'm like, why am I even going to be angry? I do this to everybody.
You're just like, I deserve that.
I just cut everybody off.
I totally deserve that, sir.
Just move on.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's a good attitude. That's a healthy attitude to have, at least.
It's very temporary.
Is it?
I see a lot of people using my move now. I'm not happy about that. The other day, I was getting on the on-ramp with about 18 cars behind me in Sugar Land to get on 59. And the teenage kid driving mommy and daddy's Audi SUV decided to go all the way up to the front of the line, pull a Nick, and then just dart out in front. And the car in front of me wasn't having it and just laid on the horn. And after double flipping him off, he pulls out his phone and starts taking video, whether he is or not, taking pictures and video of the license plate. Then they were going back and forth. And I was like, that's my move. You can't do that.
The video move?
Yeah, because people freak out when they think that you have them on video.
I'll smile.
Did you see the one? Oh, I got so pissed about this.
Were you on the phone with Nick when it happened? Remember how he said whenever he's on the phone with you, you get pissed at it?
Oh, no. This was some lady was in a park wearing a Puerto Rican flag. And some guy started harassing her.
I saw this.
And he was like, why are you wearing that flag? And she was like, what are you talking about? And he was like, this is America and I'm not going to stand for this. Take that shirt off. And she was like, why? She's like, you understand that Puerto Rico is owned. Or she said owned by America. And he's like, no, it's not. You dumbass chick. It's kind of, not owned by, but it was a sovereign territory or something like that. It's a territory of the U.S. But he didn't get that. And then he was like, are you a citizen? She was like, yeah, I was born here. He's like, well, then you definitely shouldn't be wearing that flag. She's like, I can wear what I want. What pissed me off about it, not just that, but then a cop shows up and doesn't do anything. He's just sitting there watching this man, and this man keeps getting in this lady's face. So she starts videoing it, and she's like, get out of my face. And he's following her around, and he's like being very confrontational. Cop doesn't do anything.
That's, I was
like,
ridiculous. Man,
if that was a different situation.
And then her brother approached him.
Yeah, and then her brother's like,
then
dude.
He got in the way.
Yeah, then her brother shows up, and he's like, dude, you need to back up. And he kind of goes after the guy. And then the cop's like, hey, sir.
Oh, God.
It's like, are you kidding me?
If you're born in Puerto Rico, you're a U.S. citizen.
Yeah, like, you stupid ass. Stuff like that. I see it all the time on the internet, and it's just, I
skim through it because it makes me so mad, and I'm tired of seeing it.
They just posted for NBC Nightly News tonight that a 92-year-old man in L.A. was thrown to the ground and stomped on by strangers and told to go back to your country on the 4th of July.
Wow.
What? Yeah, 92. And if you see his face and see what they did to him, you're like...
Is he Hispanic?
Yeah, his name is... There it is. Rodolfo Rodriguez.
Man.
Now the LA County Sheriff's Department is investigating. He's a Mexico native, a legal U.S. resident in the community of Willowbrook outside of Los Angeles. Dude's 92 years old.
Mm-mm-mm.
Out on the 4th of July, and that's what he gets. That's ridiculous,
man. That is ridiculous. I, I hope they find out who did that. That's such a chicken bleep thing to do.
No question, man. And you know what? There's video cameras all over these days. Hopefully somebody gets it just off a bit, wherever it happened, a business, a residence, whatever. Just, he said while walking, he may have accidentally rubbed shoulders with a small girl. She said she saw a woman with the girl push him and beat him with a brick. A woman beat a 92-year-old man with a brick and told him to go back to your own country.
And nobody... Jeez.
And the person that witnessed it wanted to stop, but the woman threatened to hit her car with the brick, so she took off.
I wish somebody would.
Man.
Did you... I didn't get a chance to see... When did this Shady McCoy news break?
About an hour and a half ago.
Okay. That's why.
I think they knew about it for a while, but the footage and the... graphic material just got published.
Oh, there's material now.
I think there is, yeah.
Well, I just saw the Instagram post from her best friend, his girlfriend's longtime girlfriend's best friend, who calls him out on drug usage, spouse or whatever, abuse, animal abuse, all kinds of stuff.
Do we have the tweet? Because I have his response.
I've seen his response.
This is so we've got to find what she posted because she basically said we covered up for your abuse.
Yeah, I put
your
it in the rundown.
Animal abuse and all that. But this was his response. He said, for the record, the totally baseless and offensive claims made against me today on social media are completely false. Furthermore, I've not had any direct contact with any of the people involved in months. So just because you haven't had contact in months doesn't just automatically exclude you because... I mean, it could have happened prior, and they just now are bringing it up.
But, now, because of the whole Reuben Foster situation in San Francisco, people now have, I think, learned a little bit that they're going to be a little less quick to judge and just
exactly
immediately incriminate the player. But just before we get into all that, the other side of it is, so Shady McCoy's longtime girlfriend's best friend Instagrammed photos of her yesterday.
It looks bad.
And then today. She looks really good yesterday, by the way. And then today, it is awful. And with it, underneath it, she put, Shady McCoy is the devil. You're an animal. We didn't say anything about how you beat your dog into kidney failure. Let's not talk about all the times that my best friend had to stop you from viciously beating your son for small things like peeing in bed. We kept quiet about your drug usage, all the illegal steroids and needles you were using, but we will not be quiet about this. I can't believe you did this to my best friend. Your karma is going to be so real. The world needs to know what type of animal you really are. This was just her yesterday on the left, and now this morning on the right, and it is not pretty. I mean, I can retweet it, but it is a split screen that is tough to look at.
Yeah, a lot of blood on her face. You can tell that her lip is swollen, black eye. Looks like some sort of cut, a couple of cuts, maybe one above the eye, mm-hmm. one on the forehead. It looks like she's been in a car wreck. It really does.
It's bad. I just tweeted it out. So at Pac-Man Joel, I just tweeted it out. But it's like I said, with the Reuben Foster situation now, you got to kind of catch yourself and just step back for a second because everybody had him completely guilty and incriminated. And then what, 4 months later, we find out that she was making the whole thing up, trying to get money from him. I think that's how it went down, right?
Yeah, but did she have pictures of her in a hospital bed with blood all over her face?
I don't know about all the evidence.
Now, again, I'm certainly not saying this is, you know.
Right, I'm with Joel. You kind of have to wait and see.
No, I am too. I'm not saying that, but I think the difference between the two situations is one was simply making a post and saying that these, and just saying the allegations, as opposed to, this is kind of that next level where they're making a post and making the allegations, but they're also posting a picture. So it's a slippery slope, man. It is a slippery slope, and it seems like I just keep thinking, when is this going to go away? When are we going to be able to, you know, not have to have these discussions anymore? But one thing I don't mind discussing, Cowboys and Indians, Texan Kitchen. I love talking about Cowboys and Indians because the food is amazing. It's one of my favorite places in this city to eat, hands down. And when I'm not dieting, even when I am dieting, I'll be honest with you, because you can go out there and you can get some pretty healthy food. I've had a grilled chicken with some green beans and some rice, and it's really good, man. Even their healthy stuff is good. They've got salads. But what you're going for is that fusion that they have between the two. Southern comfort food and the Indian food. They've got some of the best butter chicken in Houston. Just start there. And then you've got the lamb vindaloo, which is really good as well. I've had that. But I also like the fact that they just posted a picture. Go to check out their Instagram, CNI713. They posted a picture of their chicken fried chicken. It looks amazing. And since I've had it, I can tell you it is amazing. I've had the chicken fried steak. I've had just about everything on the menu. I don't think there's anything that I didn't like. And don't take my word for it. Honestly, there's tons of listeners that have gone to Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen and tried it and got back to me with either a tweet or a DM on Instagram or whatever and told me that I was right, that the food is that good. I'm telling you, you're going to love this place. 1901 Taft in Midtown is where it's located. Don't forget, they've got a full-service bar, so if you're worried you won't get to watch the game, you can absolutely do that. They've got TVs in there for you. And if you don't have time, you just want to have it delivered, do like Pink Valkyrie did. She used Uber Eats and had some of that butter chicken delivered to the house. Outstanding, super easy. They're also on DoorDash and Grubhub. So any of those three options, you can have Cowboys and Indians delivered directly to your door. Don't forget, if you mention ESPN 97.5 or mention the usual suspects and you get those non-quesadillas, which is a show favorite, those non-quesadillas, you can get 20% off. Just mention us. Again, 1901 Taft in Midtown is where it's located. They've got the CNI713 on Facebook, CNI713 on Instagram. Get out there. Tell Haas and Imran I said hello when you go by. Just make sure you take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen, y'all. There's nothing like it.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. First hour of the show, about 30 minutes in. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. We are in studio on a Tuesday on The Usual Suspects. Good to have everyone aboard and along for the ride. We had a conversation yesterday, boys. We didn't really have it till late in the show because we didn't talk any hoops. And you guys kind of went back and forth. And regardless of how you prioritize the Rockets' free agents, there is one less, and it's not because he resigned, as Luka Mbamute signs a one-year deal with the Clippers, meaning that you've lost two key players to your rotation from a year ago, and Clint Capella is still dangling.
You lost him because the offer wasn't enough. I mean, he got, what, 4.3 from the Clippers, and they were offering him 2.4?
For 1 year, he did, yep.
And they could have offered him 5-something, and that's
what... But then you don't get Melo.
Yeah.
The chance to get
them. And I think we're all in an agreement, unless I'm wrong, but I think we all agreed that the right move would be to keep Luke and not go after Melo, if that were the case.
Yeah, I talked to several people, and I mentioned this a little bit yesterday. Luke had his feelings hurt because he wasn't a high enough priority. I think in the conversations that he had with the Rockets, it was like, hey, we like you and we want you back, but we're kind of checking out some other things. And if these things shake out, then we got this amount of money. And if these things shake out, then we got this amount of money. And if these things shake out, we might not have any money. And he just basically has to look out for himself and his family and his personal situation and just basically wasn't willing to wait, which a lot of players do.
And that's, I mean, to me, and I guess you guys didn't immediately chime in, so I'm assuming you disagree. But to me,
no, I tried.
It was the wrong move. You have to... Yeah, I get that he was broken, quote unquote, after the shoulder injury and didn't play well in the playoffs and kind of got benched and became not an immediate part of the rotation. But that rotation got shortened up anyways. But you had hoped it. But you feel like he could. I mean, he's a big part of the reason why they won 65 games. So I just think this was a miscalculation and a misstep on their part. And it's looking like the same thing could be true with Capella. But in the case of Luka Mbamute, that's a swing and a miss.
Yeah,
I agree.
I mean, for me, it's, you know, the way if I were to do it, I would sign the players that are going to consume most of the cap first. And so I might get some heat for saying this. I'm not saying Luke isn't a loss because he is. You got to wait till you sign the other guys first. And if you lose him, you lose him. Because I feel like, and I am going to use the word, he's probably one of the more replaceable players on that team. You can find another defensive player that produced about the same amount of points that he did. Now, he didn't really prove that much success in the postseason before with the Clippers. And then he came over here and had the shoulder issue and really didn't get a chance to prove what he can do in the postseason on this team. And so I feel like the Rockets were forced to not sign him and wait for someone like a Clint Capela to come to some sort of agreement with them or some of the other players that are going to consume most of the cap. That's how I feel. That's the only move that you can make, I think, if you're a Rockets owner. Why do you want to necessarily give him more money? Give him $5 or $6 million.
If I'm not mistaken, though, your mid-level exception isn't affected by what everybody else is signing for.
You mean with Melo?
With Melo or Luke.
Or
you could have spent that mid-level exception, and that's separate and not conditioned on what Capela is going to end up making.
That's correct.
And if he wanted, for
that mid-level exception. Yeah. That's already factored into what their existing cap is.
And I think that's the reason why he kind of got the offer that he did, because he wanted the offer now, I think. He only got what you said, 2.5. I think he only got 2.2 last season.
He was making in the twos last year. He got 4.3 from the Clippers with this deal.
But the Rockets offered him.
Again, I don't think they had a solid figure for him. Here's what I agree with Barry. I think that on a couple of fronts. Here's the one thing. You lost two of your best defenders. Okay, so you took a huge step forward, and we all said throughout the year, you give credit to Daryl Morey, not so much for the Chris Paul move, even though it was great, but for the additions on the side, the P.J. Tucker, the Luke Mbamutes, which along with Trevor Ariza gave you three really good quality on-ball defenders, and now you've taken two of those guys away. And I think that's a big issue. I said from the get-go, you don't need LeBron. If you just bring this entire team back intact that won 65 games, I'm good with that because I really firmly believe you're a hamstring away from getting to the finals and maybe winning it all. So you had... And I think Luke had a lot to do with the individual success and the team success during the regular season. But unfortunately, it's a what have you done for me lately league. And just the way everybody criticized Trevor for the fact that in the final game of the year, he was 0 for the game. People criticized Luke. And very well, in both cases, they are open to criticism. Because Luke, once he came out in the media and said, I can't dunk anymore. I can't really go to the rim hard anymore until with my shoulder. That was like, from a coaching perspective, a red flag to say, well, then you're not going in the game anymore because offensively, I need you to attack the basket and then make an open three, but you're really on the court to be physical defensively. So that's where I'm at. I agree with you completely on what you said, Barry, in terms of the fact that I think it's a big swing and a miss. Now, I know that there's a lot of people that are saying, Daryl, we trust. And yeah, there's still time, but I just, unless there's a trade out there that I'm missing and Daryl's going to dig up.
Well, it's obvious now. It's Melo. That is the target. It's been the target. That's why Capela hasn't signed or whatever. I don't know if they think they can get Melo for the mid-level exception or if he's going to want more money than the mid-level exception and that they're going to say, you know what? Well, don't sleep on the fact, is it L.A., Miami, and Houston is his final three? Mm-hmm. And if it becomes a bidding war, Miami might be able to offer more than a mid-level exception to get Capela. I mean, to get Melo.
Doesn't
Melo.
That tell you how selfish he really is, if that's what it's about?
I was just going to say that next.
Doesn't. I mean, this is about business. It's the same reason you underbid to Luke Mbamute and Clint Capela. It's got to work both ways. You can't just have it your way and say, well, players are selfish when the team's trying to save as much money as possible when they're offering, making offers to these guys. So, If you end up getting in a bidding war with Miami, you're screwed because now you're either going to have to overpay for Melo and not get Capela.
But I will say this, just remember, because the projected salary cap was supposed to be $101 million, and now it looks like it's actually $99, which is less than what the projected cap was going to be. With Harden, Ryan Anderson, and Chris Paul signed, you're already at $85.
Mm-hmm.
You give Luke another $5-7 million, you're limited to what you,
but they were never going to do that,
you know what I mean? Right. I wouldn't have done it either, you know what I mean? That's my point. Like, I wouldn't have done it either. I would sign Capela first, then going from there, you see what realistically what are you going to pay in luxury taxes when you go over, because you probably are if you do make some sort of move like re-sign a Luke or re-sign or get a Melo at a mid-level exception, but you're already at $85 million with three players.
Here's the thing. For me, take the finances out of it for a minute. Just look at Carmelo Anthony. People are forgetting this is the reason Mike D'Antoni resigned in New York. He and Melo went head-to-head. They butted heads. He knew he wasn't going to win at the end of the day because Melo was the franchise. And he said, I can't take it anymore. I'm out. He bailed. And I just don't know how, I want to know what the communication level is between Daryl Morey and his brain trust that are thinking Melo's the guy we got to bring in. And if they're communicating with Mike D'Antoni, or they just assume, hey, you're our coach, coach whoever we give to you. Because he got out of there for a reason, and he's earned his stripes since then. Just look at what he's been able to do with this team. I think that's bad. I think their defense, I don't, if you bring in Melo, but look, they were a top five. Weren't they a top five ranked defense last year throughout the year?
Most of the year, at least they were.
So all of a sudden, you go from a top five. You might be bottom five with Carmelo Anthony and the two guys that you lost, depending on what you bring in. And then you get to the Capella front, where everything I'm hearing is, and again, you don't bid against yourself. So again, like you're saying, you don't give them money unless you don't. So until you, he gets an offer from another team, they're going to sit and wait and be patient and go, hey, it's on you, bro. If you think you're worth this, show me a team that agrees with you, and then we'll match it accordingly. But in the meantime, whether you blame it on having to wait on that, or you just think that they don't think that they value those two guys enough, and you're not going to pay Trevor 15. That was a smart move letting him walk. But you got to try and find an ample replacement. And I just see a lot of guys coming off the board and no replacements coming in for either one of those guys now. So, all right, we'll continue to roll on. If you guys want to talk Rockets, we're here. If you want to talk about other things, we got lots to get to. Astros, of course, lots of soccer in Wimbledon. And if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, give us a call. 713-780-3776, HRNP, listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter, usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. Keep it going, full steam.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, knee-deep hour number one, three-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Don't forget, in the 3 o'clock hour, we are simulcast on SportsMap 94.1. I guess fair to say the reason why we're not simulcast throughout is because Stephen A. has a priority placement on our sister station. So he's got one to three.
Word. So apparently Bleacher Report is reporting that Mike D'Antoni said he would, quote, would be fine with Carmelo Anthony joining the Rockets.
Yeah, I read that during the break. Again, the weird thing is, like, I watched Summer League last night. I know it's shocking to you, but I actually did see the Rockets were going to be on, so I watched a little of it, and they had Daryl on live, and he obviously can't talk about Carmelo specifically until Oklahoma City does something, and they were throwing a lot of things at him, even with Luke. I'm just curious about the hierarchy, because it seems like it's been very harmonious between Daryl and D'Antoni to this point. But that's one of those that you hope they had at least one sit down about, because you know, from a player's perspective, Chris Paul's been friends with Melo for a long time. The three of them work out all summer long playing pickup, so they all know each other. That's fine and dandy. But at some point, I would hate to be disrespectful to a head coach that kind of has been the leader, and his offensive schemes have been what's the reason why the Rockets are so prolific in the way that they put the ball in the hoop. And I mean, I would just hope that there's communication on that level.
Well, yeah, I would think that before you start down this path, once you get the idea that, well, it doesn't look like OKC is going to hang on to Melo, and once Morey finds that out, then I think the first step is to, well, step one is to probably go to Tillman Fertitta and say, hey, I want to go after Melo. If things break with this guy and that guy, it may put us over the cap. I don't know. Are you willing to pay the luxury tax and get that okay? And then you go to Mike D'Antoni and say, hey, this is the plan. I want to go get Melo. Are you good with this? Are you comfortable with this? Because you've got to have his buy-in. I don't think front offices, they'll add personnel, but when you add, you know, a 12th guy on the bench, it's completely different than adding a guy who's going to be your one or two coming off the bench. And so I say that because if Eric Gordon is still here, he's probably your one coming off the bench because of the way that they rotate. But Carmelo Anthony is now not even the sixth man. He's the seventh man. And how does he feel about that? I don't know. But the point is you've got to go to D'Antoni at some point and get his buy-in, or at least his willingness to buy in, before you start to pursue Carmelo Anthony. I would think that's what would
happen. I would hope is what I would say, because this is the guy as a general manager that has started tried to start a new trend when he was able to select assistant coaches for a head coach, which is unheard of and never been done before. And it made things a little bit contentious sometimes, because just like the team has to be a unified front at all times, the coaching staff has to be unified at all times and be on the same page, and everybody be on the same squad, because there's going to be times when you're going to be pressed and you're going to be called out, and it's going to be, you know, all against them, or is it going to be where there's splinters? And there were splinters from time to time, to be honest. So I think that's why I say I hope there's conversations going on. I think Mike D'Antoni later in his career has proven to everybody he's a hell of an offensive mind and he's a good coach. And he's done a lot of good things here in Houston. But you bring it up. I mean, look, this is the thing is, I hope the other conversations that happen are mellow. Look, you got to understand you are coming off the bench, or you're going to be a role player, because he couldn't accept it in OKC. Then when it came down to next season, and even late in the regular season last year, are you willing to come off the bench? Nope.
Well,
sure, I'm not.
You know, and I said that, and because I'm still, I guess, I haven't processed the fact that Ariza and Luka Mbamute are gone, but if you go and get Melo, is he coming off the bench or is he your starting three?
That's my question.
See, because I think he could is. Still.
He's got to be your
start.
Starting three, yeah, right? I think we're. I
well,
think
or
we're
PJ Tucker.
Putting the well, Tucker's probably your four.
Well, he's. I mean, you're filling your versatile five. Roles. But here's a guy knows your defensive system, is a really above average on ball defender, is versatile, like you said, to play small forward and power forward, and even a little center, as we've said, when mm-hmm. they play fast. And he knows the system. He knows what Bezdelic puts in. I think, depending on how it all shakes out, I could realistically see PJ Tucker being Trevor's replacement in the starting lineup.
I could, especially if they don't get Melo. But if you go and get Melo and you know he wants to play the three, then and he's that's, you know, his natural position, I suppose. I've always kind of felt like he was more of a four, but he loves the three and that's where he wants to. Then I don't think it matters as much. It really matters more on defense, and you get to pick. All right, Tucker, you're going to guard the best player between the opposing teams three and four anyways. You're just going to let him, all right, whoever's better on that team, that's who you guard. But both of those guys are going to do the same thing. They're going to be spot up shooters there in the corner. So I don't think it really matters that much in the style of offense that the Rockets run.
I think it's going to be easier for him to swallow coming off the bench if he is even a little willing to do that, if he's doing it on another team. But coming off the bench at OKC, I think would have been a harder to deal with, because it would have been a demotion on a team that he was already on, yeah. And he's playing with the same players. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if he really is willing to take a bench role.
Can I throw this angle at you guys? Here's the thing to me, and it gets back to what Barry brought up initially. The knock on this team before Carmelo Anthony, before even Mike D'Antoni, was they can score points. They just have a hard time defending. So last year, they addressed that. And they were a top five defensive team. You add Carmelo Anthony, everybody goes, it doesn't matter because he can score from all over. He can make the three. He can post up. He can do all these different things. He's a great stretch four because of the fact, but he doesn't rebound. He doesn't defend. And really, you don't need any more scoring. You've got all the scoring you need and more on this team, especially in the regular season. But what you really can't afford is to have a big fall off in the defensive front and the defensive end of the floor, because that was your biggest bugaboo 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's why I think the losses of Ariza and Mbamute are so significant, and why you wanted to get Mbamute signed. You couldn't afford to lose both of those guys. You just lost half of your defense, essentially. Well, I shouldn't say that. I'm excluding Capella, but he's not signed, and we don't know what's going to happen.
And Chris Paul.
But, well, no, because I'm saying half. So you had Capella. I mean, excuse me, you had Chris Paul. I'm saying Chris Paul, PJ Tucker, Trevor Ariza, and Luka Mbamute. And I guess you have to include Capella in that, yes. But you don't know what that's going to be yet. You don't know if you've lost him or not. But of the other four, you lost half of that. Ariza, and so you're left with Tucker and Chris Paul. Now, if you can re-sign Capella, you've got three-fifths of a – but you have no defense at small forward, and you have nobody coming in to replace that defense at small forward. And don't forget that you talked about it last year a lot. You always talked about that death squad lineup kind of thing where you could just throw out all, you know, defensive stoppers out there late in the game, and you're going to be limited now because you don't have that.
Now, Eric Gordon can be a good defender. Can he defend threes with the quickness factor and the size factor? I don't know. But again, now you're starting to just like, you're trying to settle. Well, you're also trying to take the super tape and plug all these holes that are leaking all over the place in a rowboat full of water. You know, you used to have a long roster with a rotation where you had guys like on a given night offensively, Gerald Green was your guy.
Yeah.
And but you didn't have to count on him every night. Now, the guys that you're moving around shifting pieces around, you're going to have to count on every night too, and that's going to be a different challenge in itself for this team.
No doubt.
This was a team that for a long time I felt like was the deepest team in the NBA. And that's just not the case anymore.
I agree.
I mean, that is no longer the case because you lost two guys. Whether they re-sign Capella and whether they get Melo, this is no longer the deepest team in the NBA.
And this isn't hating on the Rockets. This is saying, look, because I agree with you. We said it during the late in the year. Their second unit, with a deep as deep as they went, they mm-hmm. surpassed the Raptors as the best mm-hmm. lineup and rotation and 1 through 15 in the league.
Yep.
Now, to your point, when you look at it now, look, there is still time. But I'm grasping at straws. I at the start of free agency, I threw out 6-8 names where I thought these guys would be great fits for the Rockets. They could upgrade this or that, the other thing. I think 6 of the 8 are gone. The other 2 are restricted, and you got to believe their teams are going to be interested in keeping them or trading them, and then someone has to take on a Ryan Anderson contract. I just don't see a lot of flexibility with the cap and with guys out there. If you just wanted to sign a guy as opposed to trading for a guy, it's going to be more challenging. I'll put it that way for the front office.
Yeah. Terry wants to talk Rockets and Carmelo. Terry, what's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Very good,
Terry.
Good. Hey, listen, I listen to you guys every day, but this is my first time wanting to chime in with you. And I I'm in agreement with you guys about Carmelo. I don't feel Carmelo gave OKC all that he had. So my question to you guys is, even if everything worked out and they brought Carmelo, do you think Carmelo would give them a little more than he gave OKC? I know that he and Chris Paul work out all the time. But do you think that the coaches, the assistant coaches, could get Carmelo to buy into playing defense?
Appreciate the call, Terry. Yeah, you know, I think some of it has to do with the fact of how happy is he. Effort, when it comes to guys like Carmelo Anthony, is always going to be tied to how happy he is with his role and the team. And if he's a starter and he's enjoying playing with Chris Paul and James Harden and he's getting the ball and he's able to put up points and do the things that he loves to do, which is score, then I think you're going to get as much effort as possible out of a guy, you know, at his age that's done when he's done. And he's not old by any stretch. He's as old as LeBron is, so you can't say he's old. But I think his effort is going to be completely tied to how satisfied he is with his role.
Well, and it really kind of defines Carmelo Anthony, because throughout his career, he won a title in college. He's not gotten anywhere near except for two stints in the conference finals that were kind of flukish, one with Denver and one with the Knicks, where if you really are focused on winning, you're in a point in your career where if you're willing to take a slight step back and not be the man with the ball and get worried about your stats, you can have a chance to win a title, have a chance. But if you are going to be selfish, you don't want to go to the bench, you're not willing to play well with others, you're not willing to take that secondary third-like role, then you are who you are. You're going to fade off into the sunset a whole hell of a lot quicker, and you're never going to get that hardware that a lot of people equate with the best of all time, Hall of Fame status, and things like that. So,
I mean, if he's a starter, I don't know if he can give more, but maybe as a bench player, he might, even though he's not producing 20, 25 points a game, he can still give you more than what he gave OKC because that role fits him better. But it's up to Carmelo and the Rockets, and whether or not he's going to be a starter or not, I think that's a probably one of the bigger factors.
If you were worried last year there wasn't enough ball to go around with Chris Paul and James Harden, aren't you a little concerned that there's not enough ball to go around if Carmelo comes in too?
Yeah.
Especially if he starts.
Yep. Yeah. All right. Well, that's hour number one, gang. We appreciate you following along with us. We still got two to go in the big show, so don't go anywhere. Plenty more to get to. It's the usual suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.